another exciting and new edition of the Thought Police. Christmas is getting closer. Kevin O'Sullivan is here. Very good. Authentic.
Yeah, I like that.
And there's plenty of news to go around. People saying this week. Fucking hell.
It was in a certain private members club. Everyone was.
Oh my god.
Yeah. And I don't know, we were halfway through.
Do you
through,
know why?
Well, I've got theories, but we were halfway through God Rest Ye Merry Gentlemen.
Okay.
And I was thinking, you know, when you. I mean, not that I can fucking sing, but.
Right.
But when you do sing, you know. Yeah. God bless yeah, yeah. you, you know, you breathe.
Yes.
And I was getting to the beginning of lines and I was like, I can't get the fucking breath.
Right.
I thought, what's going on? And then I
oh, thought, you got COVID.
Yeah, yeah. Well, then I thought, God, blimey, this is fucking hot in here.
Right.
And the next thing I knew, I'm looking up at all these people.
Really?
They go, you're all right, well, should we get you to hospital?
Fucking hell.
They go, wow. So this guy goes, should we get you to hospital? I said, no. I've got a better idea. They said, what's that? I said, get me to the bar.
Right.
So they sort of
like... A shot of vodka.
Yeah. So they took me over to the bar. I sat down on one of the bar stools. I ordered a glass of red wine and a big bowl of chips.
Okay.
And two mouthfuls into the chips, I felt absolutely fucking
so burned. Had you not eaten or something?
Yeah. I've forgotten to eat since breakfast. So
that could have been...
It was I think it was a blood sugar crisis.
Yeah.
And the rest of the night was absolutely fine.
Yeah. Isn't that funny? Because, I mean... People do faint. It's always a bit shocking when people do faint. I remember standing in the pub over the road, the Wheat Sheaf, one day, having a drink with a couple of people, and this guy came in with a woman, and as they were walking into the bar, suddenly there was this sort of noise, but and he hit the floor really fucking hard.
Yeah, that, apparently
right?
I did.
Hit the floor really hard, and it turns out his wife was going, oh, he's an epileptic, he's just having an epileptic fit. And so, of course, everybody kind of panicked and ran around, and we rang an ambulance, and they came, and he was fine, but blood pouring out the back of his head, it was quite not shocking. I've only ever fainted once in my life, and it would probably not surprise you to know... that it was when I was in the shower with a woman who later became my wife. So it's all up above board.
Well, hang on a sec. Whoa. How did you faint in the shower with your wife? What was it? The shower was on. It was too
the
hot.
The shower was really hot. We just smoked a joint. I was about 18. I was 19. I mean, I was young. I don't know what was going on. And she was the only wife I ever had. But so this was when we just shortly after we'd met. We were in this house in Bath, and both going to university.
Only one wife, right? Yeah.
Only one wife. Yeah, thank you. And anyway, yeah. So I don't remember how it happened exactly. I just remember sort of like you waking up, slumped on the floor of a shower with the water pouring on.
Fucking hell!
And I never before or since has it happened to me.
Yeah, it's a strange thing. Apparently, last night I went down like a fucking.
Yeah, I mean, you're lucky you didn't smash your head.
Yeah, really.
Because that's the danger, isn't it? Yeah. Where you break, you smash your forehead over.
And then all these people, yeah, okay, I'm good. Nothing to see here.
Yeah, I'm fine.
But it did turn out it was fine. So I'm assuming. As I say, it's a blood sugar crisis, soon solved by a fucking great
yes.
bowl of Coke Duron and a fucking great bowl of chips.
Well, I think that's obviously the cure is a bowl of chips for almost everything.
And a big glass of red wine.
Yeah, so it doesn't sound like there's anything wrong.
Happy days.
And you feel fine now, right?
Yeah, I do. But also, to go back to your point, I think it feels pretty Christmassy.
Do you?
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, to be honest, I don't really feel Christmassy until I stop working, and that'll be next week. And
me
then
too.
Suddenly, you know, you suddenly realise, right, here it is. We're going down and, you know, put the presents under the tree and all that kind of stuff. My daughter's arriving. That'll all be great. So I'm looking forward to that. Not such a happy Christmas, though, for those two twats in Montecito.
The gruesome
Harry and
Meghan,
who are literally watching their world disappear before their very eyes.
And who are officially now Hollywood's two biggest losers.
And I mean, it's brilliant, isn't it?
Yeah.
I mean, everyone's turned on them. Literally everyone. There's nobody defending them now.
Yeah.
No one.
They're absolutely fucked. And they really need to change their game.
Yeah, they do.
Because whatever they've been doing up till now has just left them in a fucking world of shit.
Yeah. Well, it's because of all the things I think that they haven't been doing. Yeah. Because all of the, you know, somebody made a good point last night, I think it was Robert Jobson with me, that they don't finish anything. They get, you know,
that's
you,
a good
we
point.
All know some people like this where you get the contract. But then you don't do anything.
That's a good
you know?
Point.
You know, they get the contract with Netflix, fuck it up. They get the contract with Spotify,
don't
fuck
do
it
anything.
Up.
Don't
you
do
know,
anything.
Do one fucking podcast in a year. You know, they get sort of, you know, invited to things and then they fuck it up. And they don't get invited back. Do you know what I mean? It's
yeah,
all it's all
you're
like
right,
that.
You're right. And the reason they've been voted, or not voted, they've been named as the biggest losers by the Hollywood Reporter in Hollywood, in LA, and I can tell you, you know this anyway, but the Hollywood Reporter is like the show business Bible.
Yeah.
It is Tinseltown's Bible. And they do this every year. And the reason they've chosen Harry and Meghan as the biggest losers is, first of all, their brand has plummeted, their income has plummeted, they've fucking lost $11 million down on previous donations to Archwell. And the Hollywood Reporter says it's because there's such a couple of fucking whiners.
Yeah.
Their book spare, their whiny documentary on Netflix, imaginatively called Harry and Meghan, always moan, moan, moan. Now, you and I both lived in America for many years, and the one thing they don't fucking like in America is moaners.
Right.
People who go, poor me, poor me.
Especially when they're not poor, and they're living in a very, very good state of affairs. They've got a great house, they've got plenty of money. What the fuck do you keep complaining about?
Yeah, yeah. In America, the thing is, the shit's happened to you. The American way is, dust yourself down, get up and fucking get on with it.
Yeah, exactly.
And these two, all they do, incredibly, considering they're worth fucking zillions and they live in a fucking mansion with 19 bathrooms in it, all they do is play the victim card. In what way are these two multi-millionaire privileged residents of one of the most expensive places in America, Montecito, in what way are they victims?
Well, they're not, are they? That's the point. And not only are they not victims, they're not poor. You know, he was banging on about how he was cut off by his family when he's been given a £30 million fucking trust fund by his mother, right? But you know what I found interesting was the Netflix bit, because everybody had said how brilliant the Netflix documentary had done, how it was, you know, groundbreaking. They were going to direct a load more documentaries themselves. I mean, that's all gone now, isn't it?
Yeah, yeah.
I don't think they're going to do anything.
I mean, it was a fucking moan fest. Oh, poor, poor me, poor us. And then switching, so them saying, oh, royal family are racist, they're all racist. And then switching the narrative to all of Britain are racist.
Yes.
All of us have benefited from slavery. Well, my family are from fucking Ireland. And by the way, even if they weren't, they would never have had enough money to be described as benefiting from slavery.
Exactly. I mean, that's the bottom line as well. That they talk about all of that, and they let the world believe that the royal family was racist, that Britain was horribly racist. People in this country made hay while the sun shone and made a lot of money out of it, the old race industry types, right? And then suddenly he comes here to promote his book, doesn't mention it. He goes, oh, no, that was the British press that made that up.
Well, that's not true, right? Is it?
Bollocks, did they? You fucking well insinuated, more than insinuated, that somebody in the royal family was racist. And you let that belief be held by everybody in the fucking world.
Yeah, yeah. That Oprah interview was Meghan going, someone was concerned about the colour of our unborn child, remember? Yeah.
She said, remember, what?
Yeah, what? What?
That was so ridiculous.
She said, what? It's not that fucking dramatic, Oprah.
About the colour of the baby.
So think about that, how that is framed. Yeah. That is a clear accusation of racism.
Of course it is.
To say they were concerned about the colour of the skin, and then fucking Oprah said, what, that it would be too dark? She said, yes. And then Harris tried to say, we never said anything about them being racist. That was the British press. No, it wasn't. You fucking ginger idiot. It was you and your fucking wife.
No, I mean, I was saying the other day, can you imagine the day after the news came out as well about the fact that they hadn't made any fucking money and that they'd been, you know, as you said, £9 million down. You know, imagine being in the house with her that day. You know, she'd be throwing things. Fuck, you know, you fucking asshole, Harry. What the fuck have you fucking done? Yeah. You fucked it all up. Because she'll blame him. Because he's clearly one of those women for which there is never a fucking bad day. You know, nothing's ever her fault. It'll all be his fault. And he'll be just sitting in his fucking room going, fucking, woe is me. You know, I'm a cunt. Yes, you are.
Yeah, it's like Angela Levin, the royal biographer that we both have on as guests on Talk TV quite often. She spent a year with Harry writing his biography. And she said about Meghan, the thing about Meghan is she's got to win.
Yes.
She's got to win every situation.
But she's like a high school girl winning, though. It's not like a real person winning. It's like a high school girl getting the one over on her rival in the playground.
Absolutely.
And, you know, she went out with him, so I'm going to go out with him now.
Yeah.
And then I'm going to make him hate her. It's kind of like a fucking, it's like an episode of 90210, she's in.
Fucking right. And don't forget that what she did was the Royal Foundation, which is a charity run by Kate and William, which had £10 million worth of donations last year and spent £7 million on worthy causes. Their charity's going fine. They posted a video of it, of Kate and the kids helping a kind of baby bank,
yes,
called. I don't know what one of them is, but they were obviously doing good works. And the next day, Archwell post, yes, here's Harry and Meghan doing a lot of good work.
But except, you know, you talk about the millions and millions of pounds that Archwell raised, what do they do with it? You know, where's it fucking gone? Well, they spent it all. And all I overhear them saying is, oh, we helped some Nigerian schoolgirls with their period pains. And we got them some, what do you call it, menstruation products.
Oh, yeah.
Well, how much did that cost? Fucking 10 million. Do fucking give me a favour.
So 2 years ago, in American money, the Archwell Foundation received donations worth $11 million. Last year, this just emerged, they received donations of $2 million. Right. Sorry, $13 million 2 years ago.
Right.
$2 million last year. So they're down $11 million. Yeah. And those $2 million, that was two donors.
Right. I wonder if one of those donors is him.
Or Oprah or someone like that.
Because, you go, fucking hell, we haven't got any money. You better make it look as if we've got some money coming in. And then suddenly you go, Rob, you've got a million. Why don't you just put it in there?
Yeah, I mean, it's for that. What that means is basically no one is donating to Archwell. And why the fuck would they? I mean, who are they?
Right.
Just a couple of fucking people in Montecito. Yeah, why should we donate to them?
And they don't actually, I mean, if you say to them, what is the cause of your charity? What good cause do you give to? There isn't one. They kind of pick and choose who they want to give money to.
Yeah.
It's very strange.
Yeah, so she...
So 2024 is going to be a pretty shit year for them, by the sounds of it.
Well, they've got, as I say, they've got to raise their game. They've got to change their game. Otherwise, they're in the deep shit.
Because they will have a very expensive lifestyle, aren't they? So all of the... I mean, also, he's wasting bucket loads of money on these lawyers that he's paying, who have obviously done a great job of nobbling him and saying, oh, yeah, this will be a good case for you, Harry. Yeah, just give us about 100,000 quid and we'll see it through for you at the High Court.
Yeah.
And he's going to get fucked, isn't he?
His litigation, or both their litigation, it's just ridiculous, isn't it? You can't take
it's about five or six cases going on at the same time.
Yeah, you take a piss anywhere near Montecito, they'll sue you.
Yeah, right.
I mean, fuck's sake, what is wrong with them?
I know.
So everybody, it comes down to this, Mike, as far as I can work out. Why aren't they doing very well? Because nobody likes them.
They're not likable, are they?
No, they're not.
I mean, he's not very bright. I mean, everybody knows him, says he's actually quite thick. I mean, not just genuinely not very bright, but literally just stupid.
Well, you can kind of tell.
You can. Yeah. Did you see that stuff in the Standard yesterday from the Duke of Beaufort, who's got a book out, and he was talking about how when he was about 18, he came to some party.
The Queen thing.
Well, there was that, but there was also, he was chucking, girls into the swimming pool. And he more or less had to be told, you've got to stop doing that. You know, that's not really how you behave.
Yeah, did five girls.
Yeah, just chucked them all in a pool.
Like some sort of public school Bullingdon
club. Idiot. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And then when he was raving around, tooling around London, doing all sorts of, things which may have involved drinking and drugs and all the rest of it, which he's admitted to, and ripping down a picture of the Queen, snogging men and women. I mean, I don't really give a shit. I liked him better when he was like that.
Yeah, no, when he was Jack the Lad.
But all this kind of bullshit about, I'm holier than thou and you must be very nice to your wife and all of this, do fuck off.
So, of course, I mentioned the Bullingdon Club there, and, of course, he would never have been a member of the Bullingdon Club because that's a club full of posh people who go to Oxford University. Fucking Harry would struggle to qualify to get into a primary school. He's so fucking thick. I mean, this is the guy who had to keep going back to try to pass.
He got two O-levels.
They had to go back to keep trying to pass two A-levels, I think it was, so he could get into Sandhurst.
I'm struggling with this art A-level.
So he could get into Sandhurst.
Can you draw a picture? Yeah, okay then.
Yeah, anyway, fuck them.
Yeah, absolutely,
fuck
yeah.
Fuck those two.
A very unhappy new year to them, I think.
Yeah, indeed.
Let's talk about another dickhead, old Rishi Sunak, busy destroying Britain. At the same time as praising himself for doing this. Do you know what he put out as a tweet today?
Cool.
Check this.
Hi,
guys. In 2009, England was ranked 27th in the world for maths. Today, we're 11th. And he goes,
wow!
That's what our new advanced British standard is all about. So I just retweeted it and went, hurrah, we're not in the top 10. What the fuck is he shouting about?
Shouldn't,
why are we 11th?
If you're first,
Well, first three, maybe. If you're third.
Top three, yeah.
But why would you boast about being 11th at anything?
Also, he's...
That's fucking ridiculous.
He's fucking obsessed with maths.
Yeah, I know. Isn't he? Yeah, because obviously he was good at it. So he can count all his money. Brilliant.
Holy guys.
Yeah.
I mean, that holy guys.
That's so good. That really is him.
That little guy, though, is in such a world of shit, isn't he? Talking about Harry.
He doesn't seem to know, though. He doesn't seem to realise that he's in a world of shit, does he?
Well, this is what's funny. He's getting an increasing reputation in Westminster for being, and I quote, tetchy.
Right.
Right. So he's given an interview to The Spectator. Right. Saying, I'm not tetchy. If you have to give an interview to a magazine to say, I'm not tetchy, chances are you are fucking tetchy.
You're probably
tetchy.
Quite tetchy. I bet he's pretty easy to wind up, by the way, you know, which is what you and I do
for
a living.
Apparently he cannot take personal criticism. Yeah. So if anybody says to him, I don't think you're handling this migrant crisis that well, Richard. No, guys, you can't say that, you know.
Well, even in Prime Minister's questions this week, he was actually trying to make out that his five pledges had been met. It's like, what are you, fucking delusional?
Where he goes,
yeah, we brought inflation down. Well, you know you haven't. Actually, that was nothing to do with you. Growth is on the up. No, it isn't. Well, debt's going down. Is it? Are you sure?
Yeah.
Don't think so. Infinitesimally. We've slowed the boats. We haven't stopped them. But there's a third less coming, which is bullshit as well, because it's only the fucking weather. And what was the fifth one? Oh, the NHS. Well, that's fucking not...
How's that going for you? How's that going for you?
The NHS, as you said this week, is once again entering yet another winter crisis.
It's going to be... No,
it's about to fall over.
They're predicting it's going to be their worst winter ever, they do every fucking year. It might help if those... fucking doctors didn't go on strike just before Christmas and just after New Year.
Yeah.
Two peak times.
Those wankers, right, have chosen very carefully. If you look at the calendar, they're going out on the 20th, which is next Wednesday, for 3 days. So 20th,
key
21st,
days,
23rd. So when they come back, it will be Christmas Eve, which is a Sunday, which they won't bother doing. So they'll have that off. Then they'll have Christmas Day off because they don't bother doing it. Then they'll have Boxing Day off. So that's 6 days off, basically. And then they get back to the 27th, 28th, 29th. And then, oh, fucking hell, it's New Year's Eve. Better fucking take that off. And then on the 3rd, they go on strike for another 7 days. So effectively, they're off for 2 fucking weeks.
I think this is these
the fucking
are,
game is up.
These are strikes in the form of a festive holiday.
Yeah, exactly.
I mean, that's what it is.
Merry fucking Christmas,
Merry
you
fucking
cunts.
Christmas to you, you fucking doctor arseholes.
Yeah, I'm a doctor.
Doctor Death.
Yeah, doctor.
Fuckers.
Exactly. They really do think they're special, these fucking doctors,
they
as well.
Really do. By the way, Doctor Who's gay, apparently, after all these years.
Really?
He's
well, the new one.
The new... Well, yeah, the new one...
Or is this the old
one? What they've
been
doing for the last couple of weeks is...
there's been a bit of trans
David
action.
Tennant has come back as the Doctor.
Yes.
And his sidekick woman, they hook up with Isaac Newton.
Yeah, who's mixed race, apparently. Isaac Newton's mixed race. He's not fucking white. They've done that
is
a,
he?
He's been played by a mixed race actor.
Oh,
you know,
God.
And you just go, what?
Yeah.
Why?
BBC, Russell T. Davis, I've got a bit of information for you. The word is Isaac Newton wasn't mixed race. anyway,
it's now just laughable.
It's
isn't
just
it?
It is laughable, but let's check.
Might as well have him played by a horse.
So Catherine Tate, who plays David Tennant's sidekick.
Yes,
she goes meets Isaac, mixed race Isaac, fucking wankers on. She goes, oh, he's hot, and then David Tennant, as the Doctor, goes, yeah, he is hot, isn't he?
Oh, great.
And then he goes, is this who I am now? He's gay.
Right. Well,
the
Russell T.
Gay.
Davis probably wants everyone in the show to be gay.
Well,
because he's a great aficionado of the gay lifestyle. He wants people to be open about it, and that's all fine. But you don't have to fucking rewrite history, do you?
No, you don't. The Doctor Who has always been like the epicenter of BBC.
But the point about Doctor Who is that he's meant to be not human. He's not meant to be like anything else. He doesn't have to have... Well, you don't have to ask whether he's gay or straight. I mean, I watched Doctor Who both as a child and with my kids. And not, no point did anybody ever ask, is Doctor Who gay?
Yeah, I know.
Nobody fucking asked the question. Why would you?
There's like,
you might as well say, you know, does Doctor Who like getting fucking tied up and fucked in the arse? I don't know. I'm not interested. You know.
That's the Christmas adventure this year. The Christmas special.
Yeah.
The Doctor gets tied up and fucked in the arse. Actually, I'd watch that.
By the way, it's the ratings winner for the BBC.
Yeah, talking about the BBC. What about fucking Lineker this week?
Jesus. Oh yeah, before we talk about him, let's just take a minute because I want to stop and bring a message to you from our friends at Shopify. Hey Kevin, do you know what that means? It's that something I've been hearing a lot lately. It's that ka-ching noise. And I have to say, it sounds like money to me. But I feel like I'm missing out because it seems like everyone is either starting a side hustle or a business or becoming their own boss. And you know what they're hearing a lot of? It's this sound. It's the sound of yet another sale on Shopify, the all-in-one commerce platform to start, run, and grow your very own business. Shopify is the commerce platform revolutionising millions of businesses worldwide. And it's coming to the UK. It's in the UK. You can get hold of it anytime you want, whether you're selling T-shirts, whether you're selling podcasts, whether you're selling any kind of merchandise, whether you're selling fine art, or whether you're selling flaky salt. You could also be selling something to do with fashion, homes and gardens, health and beauty. You know, I mean, Christmas is coming up after all. You might as well get a bit of a boost. Covering all of your sales channels, Shopify simplifies selling online and in person so you can successfully grow your own business. It gives you a shopfront ready point of sale system to its all-in-one e-commerce platform. Shopify even gets you selling across social media marketplaces like Facebook, Instagram and TikTok. It's full of the industry-leading tools ready to ignite your growth. Shopify gives you complete control over your business and your brand without learning new skills in design or coding. So I think even you could probably use it. Thanks to 24/7 help and with an extensive business course library, Shopify is also ready to support your success every step of the way. And also, what's lovely about Shopify is that no matter how big you want to grow, Shopify will be there to empower you with the confidence and the control to take your business to the next level. A little bit when we decided to go out there and start doing live shows, and when we started doing podcasts and we started doing all sorts of other things and merchandise and all of that. You know, it's time to get serious about selling and get Shopify today. This is all possibility powered by Shopify. Sign up for £1 per month trial period at shopify.co.uk/thoughtpolice. It's all lowercase. So go to shopify.co.uk/thoughtpolice to take your business to the next level. Don't forget, shopify.co.uk/thoughtpolice. Yeah, let's talk about the BBC and Gary Lineker.
Fucking, look, the chronology of this is, it kicked off like last weekend when Gary Lineker signed, towards the end of last week actually, he signed a petition,
right.
A bunch of lovies condemning the Rwanda plan. You're just actors, we don't give a fuck what
listen
you
listen to what Ricky Gervais has to say.
Yeah. Well, Ricky Gervais I would listen to, he's not...
That's what I mean, but when he said to them all at the Golden Globes, don't fucking come up here and make a speech, you're fucking actors, nobody gives a shit
He said, nobody cares what you think, you're fucking actors, most of you didn't even go to fucking school.
That's right, yeah.
Exactly right. Anyway, so he signs this Lovey's petition. A lot of people say, well, this has broken the BBC's rules. BBC, in a really mealy mouth way, said, this is a paper signature.
Yes.
So it's not social
media.
Speaking. It's paper, so he hasn't broken the rules.
But they fucked that up, didn't
they? So then he gets involved in this fucking great squabble
on
X or Twitter, whatever you want to call it, with Lee Anderson, Jonathan Gullis, Tory backbencher,
and of course
Grant Shapps, in which he fucking insults all three of them. But he accuses Jonathan Gullis of not being able to read. He accuses Grant Shapps of having multiple identities, with some justification,
yes,
by the way.
But that's not something Gary Lineker would know, though, is it?
Yeah, but the point is that the social media rules that were created at the BBC specifically for him after he compared the Tories to Nazis do dictate you can, if you don't work for the news department like Gary doesn't, you can express your opinions on social media, but you must be civil and you must not impugn or undermine...
Make personal attacks, right?
Personal attacks, undermine others' characters. Well, he's been extremely rude to all three of those MPs, and he has impugned their characters. So, as the incoming BBC chairman, Samir Shah, told Parliament, there's no doubt about it, he's broken the fucking rule. So what are you going to do
terrified.
About it?
But they're now terrified, because having set up an escape clause for him by saying it wasn't on social media, he then rams it to him and goes, well, I don't give a fuck about that, because here I am on Twitter now doing it.
Yeah, yeah.
So it's almost like he's taunting the BBC.
Yeah, he is.
And I wonder whether he just wants out of it.
I think he does.
Or whether, in fact, they're going to not renew his contract, and they've told him that. And he's just trying to manoeuvre it so that it looks like they sacked him because of his politics. Because then he can pretend to be a fucking martyr as well. Into the bargain.
I agree with you. I think he wants to exit the BBC, signalling his virtue as the last of the great liberal heroes. You know, I will not be suppressed. I will have, you know, so he looks brilliant to all his lefty mates.
Right. And his podcast business is going very well, thank you.
He's making a fortune from his podcast business. He's making a fortune from Walker's Crisps. And my theory is he's got a job waiting in the wings anyway.
I wouldn't be surprised. Maybe in Qatar, his favourite country.
He likes it, doesn't he?
He likes it.
But he's broken the rules 100%. So what the fuck is that Director General Tim Davie going to do about it?
Right. Well, obviously he's shit scared to do anything. But the other thing that I find extraordinary is that people are now beginning to agree with me. I think is that clearly an awful lot of this is being driven by Alistair Campbell. Alistair Campbell, who is now his big mate, who does a podcast for him, which does very well with Rory Stewart. You know, they're both Tory haters. They are both very deeply sort of embedded into the now sort of new Labour fucking answer for everything. And I think a lot of what he says is kind of not sponsored by, but kind of from an original idea by Alistair Campbell.
Yeah.
Here's what you say about that fucking idiot Grant Shapps. You're not going to tell me that Gary Lineker knew that Grant Shapps had history in which he had three different identities that he used to run three different companies. Who would fucking know that? Not Gary Lineker.
Oh, no, sure. I mean, he's taunting the BBC. I agree with you.
Yeah.
I mean, far be it from me to feel sorry for the BBC. But given that they've got a weak director general who's terrified of his own shadow,
yeah.
who won't do anything, I actually feel sorry for the state broadcaster that this fucking ex-footballer, goal hanger, Gary Lineker, is inflicting damage on them day after day. It's like ramming a fucking knife up their arse.
Yeah, I know.
You know, why
and he's making them look idiotic.
So I love the BBC. Well, stop fucking damaging it.
Yeah, man. Right. He is absolutely single-handedly taking it apart from the inside.
Well,
it really is quite extraordinary to see.
Why can't I mean, he ain't that valuable to them. When he was suspended from Match of the Day, the ratings actually rocketed.
Yes.
He's not that valuable, so why...
Well, there's lots of other people can do that job, and people have said to me this week as well that their kids, a lot of young kids who watch football, have no recollection at all of Gary Lineker as a footballer, because it's a long time ago, you know. And so anybody who's, say, under the age of about 22, 23, doesn't even fucking know who he is. So he's not a draw for them.
Yeah, well, you know, I remember him as a player. It was all right. It wasn't that great, don't think. He was quite a good goal scorer. And all the other footballers, they hated him because they thought he was a goal hanger.
Yeah, yeah.
That he poached.
Right.
He just hung
and
around.
I mean, yeah, there's nothing wrong with doing that. And he was very good at it. And he also, you have to say, he did break a few molds. He went and played in Japan. He went and played in Barcelona. And he spoke Spanish very well. For a footballer, he's a very smart guy.
He's got
But he's not God's gift to fucking the Labour Party any more than anybody is, you know?
I just would like Tim Davie, the Director General, to say, OK, we've been...
They should just go, fuck off, Gary.
Exactly.
Just fuck off.
You read my mind.
Yeah?
But, you know, something along the lines, we've been putting up with this shit since March. He's goading us. He is hereby dismissed. Fuck off. My show the other day, we had a guy called Roger Bolton, who's a really...
Oh, yeah, I saw that.
...veteran BBC...
He accused you of not being impartial.
Yeah. what he said... I mean, he's actually a nice guy, but he said, well, I find it really, really rather rich that there you are having a go at the BBC for not being impartial. In your intro, you were hardly impartial.
Right.
I said, we don't pretend to
be. No, exactly.
Yeah, we express that...
He's not paying your salary, whereas we're paying fucking Gary Lineker's
exactly
salary.
Right. But anyway, he is a dyed-in-the-wool BBC man, and he said, If you want my prediction, I'd be extremely surprised if Gary Lineker is presenting Match of the Day next season.
Yes.
And I think he probably is very close to the edge now.
Yeah, I think so. And I guess it'll all come down to the contract, won't it? Because I thought I heard, did I not, in the last time this all came up, that he just signed a new contract.
No, he's negotiating.
Oh, is he?
Right. Maybe because he's on £1.3 million pounds and he wants more money.
Right.
Maybe, just maybe, the BBC are playing hardball with him and saying you can't have
And them. Maybe, well, there's another interesting wrinkle then, because maybe he doesn't want to work for them for less than 1.5 or something, and he's going to say, well, they forced me out because of my politics, rather than
saying
he won't take the money.
He wants to disguise the real reason for his exit with some kind of heroic exit because he's a scion of the left.
Right, because the other interesting thing was that up until certainly yesterday, which was, you know, 2 days into this latest scandal, apparently the BBC hadn't even spoken to him.
Well, but I think yesterday they still haven't.
Yeah.
But, you know, Tim Davey seems to think he can get away with this, stick his fucking head in the stand like an ostrich and say nothing to see him.
Right.
Well, he ain't going to get away with it.
No.
He's going to have to do something.
And eventually, and this is all goes back to the last time they rolled over and let him come back in after they suspended him, and nothing happened to him, right? Because they got shit scared that everybody else walked out with him. And because of that, they rolled over and he thinks he can get away with murder.
Yeah.
You know, he'll never
they
stop.
Came up with these rules. I mean, other people have to obey them, but these new social media rules, because of that Nazi row back in March, these were created specifically for Gary Lineker.
Right.
And he then tweeted, all very sensible.
Yes.
And now he's breaking those laws.
Of course he is, because he can't help it. He literally can't help himself.
And by the way, one last point about Gary Lineker.
Yeah.
You and I know about this old newspaper men. You get this syndrome, folks. Some people who get into the papers a lot become absolutely addicted to it. He wants to be in the papers day after
day. And he wants to be trending on Twitter,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, yeah, he's addicted to his own fame, I think.
I think he's just very smug and he's got plenty of money. He doesn't really need to work. If he stopped working tomorrow, he'd be fine for the rest of his life. But he clearly, you're right, he's clearly become very self-absorbed, very fucking smug, and he's got that fucking Alistair Campbell, who's not a very pleasant individual, fucking winding him up to do it.
And this is the ultimate irony. We won't go into details, but tomorrow, you and I will be going to a party, and one of our fellow revelers will be Mr. Gary Lineker.
He probably will be.
He's going to be there.
Yeah.
So we'll have a drink with him.
Yeah. Well, you may or may not have a drink with him. I mean, the point is that actually, when you meet the guy, he's not a horrible cunt.
He's a nice bloke.
But he's single-handedly. He's pretty selfish, though, I think.
I think he's selfish.
He's a pretty selfish.
He's a nice guy to have a drink with. He's a nice enough guy, but I agree with you. I think he's a...
Well, I did tell
him...
There's
an argument he's a selfish
bastard. The last time I saw him last year, I said to him, you don't care if I keep calling you a fucking hypocritical cunt, do you? He's like, no, don't give a fuck.
Yeah.
And that was the conversation.
But I think you're right. I think he's a self-obsessed narcissist.
Yes, he is. You should tell him that.
Loves himself
a lot. You should tell him that.
Well,
definitely. Should we finish up with the world's horror?
Yeah, from one self-obsessed narcissist to another.
And
Gary,
I know what I'm talking about.
You're just like me, Gary.
What about...
Without the money.
Should we finish up with Nigel Farage?
The man
who's frightened the horses and got lots of people very upset because they've discovered, actually, shock horror, he's not a bad bloke.
Yeah, exactly. And he came third in Celeb, which was a lot better than most people thought he would do. He was a nice bloke. I mean, if anything, I would say it's probably just for that show a bit too nice, a bit too ordinary,
a bit too normal.
He's not a show busy guy.
But he's not a sort of hysterical, crazed idiot from some bizarre fucking world of reality TV who's putting something on every time they speak. He was just himself. And, you know, he's another guy that, you know, we know well, I know him very well. He's just a decent bloke.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah, well...
But he's painted as this sort of vicious monster who hates everybody foreign, which couldn't be further from the truth.
No, and here's what's happened. His bloody girlfriend's French for a kid.
Well, his wife was German.
Yeah, yeah. Fucking
what's the matter? Why does he like English women?
He's a fucking traitor.
Bastard.
Anyway, I know for a fact what happened. I mean, basically, do you know that... idiot Fred Cyriax,
who I'd never heard of,
the celebrity waiter.
Yeah,
you know, from France, of course. So you know, why Brexit terrible? Wanker. Remain.
Nobody
remain.
In France gives a shit about Brexit.
Yeah, but I suppose
he does.
But he thought that being all Remainery and saying it was terrible Brexit, he thought that would be good for his showbiz career and that would get him lots of votes.
Right.
He was fucking voted out, you know.
Right.
After about 3 days, everybody hated him.
Yeah,
but. Apparently, there's you saw a little contretemps between Fred and Nigel about Brexit and about various other aspects of UKIP policy.
Yes.
Saw a little bit of it. Apparently, they went fucking hammer and tongs for days. And Nigel apparently says it was fucking dynamite. And apparently also, of course, Nigel Farage is going to kick the shit out of some waiter like Fred Cyriax every time. He won the argument spectacularly. That's what we didn't see. That's why Farage is furious. ITV star...
And that's why he's having a go at Kevin Lyon.
Yeah, well, he said they fucking edited me to make sure I didn't win. I think that's true.
Yeah.
ITV have hit back saying, absolutely not true. So Farage has said... a guy called Kevin Ligo is head of programmes at ITV. Farage said, if you want to go to war with me, let's do it.
Good luck.
I wouldn't advise it. If you want to talk to somebody who went to war with me, you might want to have a word with Dame Alison Rose, who used to work at Coutts until she got involved in a public spat with me, and now she's unemployed.
Right.
And he warned Ligo, and this is what Farage can do. If you want your share price to plummet, I can organise it.
Well, they're doing quite well on their own on that front, by the way.
Yeah, but Nigel will make it worse.
Yeah, he would make it a lot worse. Well, anyway, listen, Christmas is coming. We'll do another podcast before Christmas.
We
do
will.
Another
one next week.
Not sure what we're doing Christmas week, but we will let you know. And we are, I know we keep saying this, we are still trying very hard to get something organised to do a live show.
Yeah, well, we will in the new year.
We'll definitely do it in the new year when Christmas will be gone. It'll be 2024. Anyway, there you are. Have a decent weekend. Don't do any fucking stupid.
And fuck you all.
Thank you.